Joining me live in studio this morning is director of Star Valley EMS. That is Mr. Bud Clark. Hey, Bud, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great, dude.
Appreciate
good to see
you. Yeah, you as well. Appreciate you stopping by today. You're a busy, busy guy. Well, everything you got going on at EMS. So thanks for swinging in.
Well, thanks for having me. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what we got going on over there at EMS right now. You know, we merged with Alpine and Thane EMS. We did that in January of this year. So now there's three stations across the valley that are staffed by a paramedic and an EMT partner in each station 24/7, 365. With that, you know, I think that we also cover into Idaho. So Jackknife is a community that we cover. So we have licensure both in Idaho and in Wyoming, so which was important so that we go over all the way around into Bonneville County, cover parts of Caribou County, and then all the way down to Border Junction where we butt into South Lincoln. So it's a big area, and all the backcountry.
So, Bud, tell us how that merger works again. Remind us, because you still see like Thane ambulance and you still see Alpine ambulances driving around. So how does the merger work in conjunction with those identities?
So ultimately, they gave us the equipment. They said, We wrote a contract, said for the next 5 years, we're going to cover you for sure for EMS, and we're going to do that into perpetuity no matter what. We got their equipment, and now the last ambulance is getting remarked. So, yeah, I mean, we couldn't go around with, if we're ABC ambulance, I can't put XYZ ambulance sure. on the ambulance and drive around
sure.
like that.
So I guess the reason I asked that question though is the Thane EMS and Alpine EMS, have those identities then been dissolved, I guess, is the question, and completely absorbed by Star Valley Health?
They have. And so they gave us all the equipment, and then, whatever personnel that wanted to come over, basically what happened is that those personnel had an opportunity to come to work for us, and some did. With that, we then at that point, they just operate off of our licensure because, back to this, they didn't have Idaho licenses, and it would be illegal for us to go over there and do medical treatment in a different state if without a licensure. So we got that licensure. And so it would just made sense. And on top of that, there were no paramedics, up in Thane. They had one paramedic for a short brief time up in, up in Alpine, but, our treatment guidelines were robust and prepared for what we do here.
So almost a year into this merger now, how's it been going?
You know, we are right now going great. Some of the things that are going on, like first off, I'd like to remind you about as far as call 911. You know, we have these three stations, and occasionally we still get people that are, you know, their loved ones having a problem. They put them in the car and they drive fast to the hospital, right? And so with that, it leads to very poor outcomes. Nobody's taking care of your loved one in the backseat of that car while you're running down the road. Our response times, we're out the door in less than 2 minutes. They're on duty waiting for a call, and that's even with our nighttime where they're in bed sleeping and they gotta get up, put some clothes on, go out and get in the ambulance and respond. So we have very short response times. In the vast majority of our populated areas, we shoot for arrival at your emergency within 10 minutes.
Speaking this morning on the weekday wake up with Bud Clark, the director of Star Valley EMS. Bud, you and I have talked about this a little heading into this conversation today, and that's funding, right? And everybody's wondering how to get that dollar to keep everything working right and working. And how's it working with Star Valley EMS? Looking at some funding losses, I understand.
So this year we're on site set to lose approximately $1.1 million in the EMS budget itself. We're completely funded by Star Valley Health. I mean, without the support of the board members, without the support of the executive leadership for Star Valley Health, this wouldn't have happened. And we've invested in the community by doing this. Right now, I'm headed off tomorrow over to Laramie to the leadership summit. All of the directors, the EMS directors across the state, we get together. We're working with the governor's office. We're working with the legislatures and trying to come up with a funding solution, because one of our biggest problems is 911 calls. We run out. We have to go. We get a report of an accident. We get out there. Well, minor injuries. We might bandage somebody up a little bit, take some vitals, and then they sign a refusal, and we don't transport anybody. We get no money for that. So, and you can imagine in these fuel prices with diesel running ambulances that are F-450s out to these scenes, you know, we of course support our fire departments. I've got mutual aid agreements with them. So every time they go on a fire call, we're going to go to that call. One, if anybody's injured at the fire, or to rehab our firemen if they're working on a working fire. So we're doing public safety work, but really all the funding comes out of the hospital's budget. And, you know, we can discuss that, you know, everybody knows that there's we have money comes from the county in regards to getting our, we get a levy, a mill levy, and that ends up being less than 1% of the hospital budget. I think last year, $88 million, we got $740,000 from the county out of the mill levy, out of our taxes that you see on your property taxes. So that $746,000 isn't even enough to one fund EMS. We're going to lose $1.1 million, right? And so we have some challenges. We have to figure out how do we fund 911 into perpetuity? And that's, I think, a legislative challenge. We right now, EMS is not considered what they call an essential service. So legitimately, if we're dispatched, we don't have to go. I mean, that's weird, right? So that's legislative challenges that we've got to address. Of course, Star Valley Health, we support that 911 and the interfacility transports that we do here. And we need to maintain that level. So, and we're doing a lot of things to do that. One of the things I think we talked about is a little bit of a grant that we got.
Yeah, go ahead and tell me more about the grant. Yeah.
So we got a $200,000 grant from SAMHSA. It's the U.S. Department of Health. That grant is actually covering several things. One, we're running an AEMT to IEMT class right now. So we're taking all of our EMTs and we're going to make them from the BLS level to the advanced life support level. That means they're going to be able to, those IEMTs will support the paramedic partners. They're going to have cardiac skills where they can just read a monitor and then defibrillate or pace somebody defibrillate somebody if should they need it. They can have cardiac drugs they supplement with. And they act at, and they have pain meds also. So those IEMTs supporting paramedics, like that's unheard of. There are services that only have IEMTs. Well, now we're going to have IS and paramedics on the trucks, and that class will wrap up in June. We're doing a critical care class. So right now, all of my paramedics are in critical care training. They got 10 weeks of online work, and then we're bringing Evolve Critical Care here to Star Valley, and they'll sit and drink from the fire hose, as I call it, for 40 hours, and they will get to the ICU level. And so that's unheard of. You know, in other communities, your paramedic doesn't come as a critical care medic. You know, when you dial 911, usually they're at the standard paramedic level. And what's that critical care level? Well, they run ventilators. They do hemodynamic management. So if you have blood pressure issues, we have drugs that we can support your blood pressure besides giving you fluid. We also do what we call RSI, where we actually would do the same procedure that happens in our operating rooms, in our OR, where we would come in and give an induction agent, put you to sleep, give you a paralytic, and then intubate you and put you on a ventilator that we're carrying on those trucks. And so that's just unheard of. That doesn't happen up in Teton County right now. They're not an RSI agency. There's very few RSI agencies that are authorized by the state, by the Office of EMS, and we are one of them.
Wow, that's incredible, Bud. And I think one thing that highlights is you have a great group of volunteer EMTs that support and respond as well with Star Valley EMS, and then you have these highly trained paramedics, and that seems like it's been a great mix.
It has been, and you know, we keep the volunteers that are keep moving up to, there's a couple of them that have gone up to the IEMT level, although our volunteers are dwindling, and we have hired, you know, a vast amount of staff. When I started here in was 2020, I had 6 paramedics, myself and my admin, you know, assistant that is an AEMT. And with that, now I have 9 full-time paramedics that to staff the 3 stations. Then I have 3 paramedic supervisors that are on top of that. And then I have EMTs that back all them up that are also 9 full-time EMTs. And then we supplement with our part-timers. And so we also have part-time employed paramedics that come over and will help supplement shifts. Because when people go on vacation, obviously I need to backfill that. And how do I do that? And so on and so forth. So, but we have 43, right now employees at at Star Valley EMS. And so we've really expanded greatly.
Bud Clark in studio this morning, director of the Star Valley EMS. And let's talk backcountry training and equipment. I know you guys have had a few calls recently even with the search and rescue and things helping out. Tell us how those responses work and what kind of equipment you guys have.
So we have snowmobiles now that we respond with search and rescue in the backcountry. Right now we're working on building up a backcountry ambulance because we really need to enhance our backcountry transport capabilities, bringing people out. Right now search and rescue does a great job. They have the snowmobiles and we put people in the snowmobiles. It's a bumpy, rough ride coming out no matter how you do it. It has little springs on there, but I say they're fake. Seems like it's like direct shocks when you're riding that thing. But anyhow, we're looking at building up basically a UTV, and it'll be completely enclosed, heated environment inside. So, and we have better access to the patient with the UTV, and it'll be tracked. So we can go back in the backcountry in the wintertime. It'll be on wheels in the summertime, and we'll carry the paramedic sitting right next to that patient with this UTV. And I was surprised. We pulled up all our calls, and we, between Caribou, Bonneville, and all of Lincoln County, we've done 44 backcountry calls this year. I mean, and you start look at that, that's a lot of calls, right? And so those are all cases where the ambulance can't get to them. And when we take the ambulance and we try to go up Grays River, it breaks. We break something in it and it costs us money. So it's really rough riding and it's not very fast. So, we've bought a lot of backcountry gear. We've got packs. We've got specialty equipment. We've got survival equipment. We've had two calls where we've spent the night out overnight where my paramedic and one of the search and rescue technicians, we've gone up there and they didn't get out until 9 or 10 o'clock the next morning. And they stayed with the patient all that time waiting to get them out. And sometimes we have to call a helicopter in, to get them out. Tip Top came over one time and got them out. We've been inserted by, Air Idaho Rescue. So, our backcountry continues. That's why people come here, right? And so it continues to be a challenge, and we're addressing it, and my guys are preparing for it. We got more training coming up. We just did a training just last week on all of our backcountry gear, and so everybody's familiar with how to use it and so on and so forth. So that's really going well. So
Star Valley Health EMS Director Bud Clark in studio. Bud, thank you so much for all the updates on what EMS does and is doing and is continuing to do. Anything we missed you wanted to mention today?
Yeah, like I said, I just want to thank the Star Valley Health leadership. Without their support, I mean, we've taken this thing and we've gone, we're carrying ICU level vents, we're carrying IV pumps, we've got defibrillators, we can pace people. Ultimately, when you dial 911, the service that's coming to you is almost at the same level. I mean, we're not carrying blood yet. We're not carrying a couple things that can be done in the ER, but we bring the ER to your living room. And my paramedics and the rest of our clinicians are stepping up to a higher level of care that you don't get in 911 services on a regular basis.
Very well said. Bud Clark, EMS Director for Star Valley Health. It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up on the SVI Radio Network.